Let's enjoy today's message by Sam Adeyemi.
Okay, we're reading from Genesis chapter 1, verse 31. Let's go. Then God saw everything that he had made, and indeed it was very good. So the evening and the morning were the sixth day. We're discussing today on the topic, excellence is a journey. Excellence is a journey. With all of the wisdom and the power and all the resources at God's disposal, when he did the foundational work of creation, he did not finish it in one day. He was laying a template for us as his co-creators, a template for the development of our planet. And he was trying to show us an example that he didn't design for things to happen in one day in our world. So he created light and rested. It was the end of the first day. And then the second, he did some more work. And the third day, and the fourth day, and the fifth day, and the sixth day. Excellence is a journey. It's not really a destination. Excellence is a commitment to continuous improvement. You know, we've said that excellence is the possession of good quality in an unusual degree. So, excellence is a commitment to improve in quality daily. A commitment to consistent and continual improvement. Proverbs chapter 1 verse 5 says that a wise man will hear and increase learning. A man of understanding will attain unto wise counsel. A wise man will hear and increase learning. You see, that's where it starts from. Committing to learn something new every day. Committing to think up new ideas daily. Committing to read a book, to attend a seminar, at least to not leave each day without having improved. Okay, this is the commitment I have made, that no day will leave me the way it met me. That's my personal commitment to daily improvement. Somebody said that the only room left unoccupied in the house is the room for improvement. Okay? All of us have the capacity to improve daily. So it begins with learning. The first thing God created was light, illumination. And we call that understanding when it comes to knowledge. You can't act better than what you know. That's why Jesus, on the cross, prayed for the people who crucified him and who were mocking him. He said, Father, forgive them, for they do not know what they are doing. So what we know will always define the limit of our action per time. The more you know, the less you need to exert physical strength. Like Ecclesiastes 10:15 says, the labor of the foolish wearies every one of them because he knows not how. You see, it's his knowledge that is frustrating his effort. His level of knowledge is frustrating his effort. The labor of the foolish wearies every one of them because he knows not how. So the lack of knowledge is frustrating his progress. Verse 10 of the same chapter, Ecclesiastes 10:10, says, if the iron is blunt, then you must exert a lot of strength. Or if the axe is blunt, then you must exert a lot of strength. But wisdom is profitable to direct, which means, according to that illustration, that wisdom sharpens your cutting edge. You are more effective. You get results better. with knowledge. A wise man will hear and increase learning. So that means on a daily basis, I'm hearing. I'm listening to tapes. I'm watching video. I'm reading books. I'm reading magazines. Daily. We must remind ourselves that excellence is not the same as perfectionism, because perfectionism will put you under undue pressure and make you permanently unhappy. And that's talking about wanting the world to be perfect. So any slight defect or when things are not ideal, you are frustrated and permanently frustrated. That's not what God designed for our world to be. If our God wanted our world to be perfect, he would have created everything complete and perfect from the first day. In fact, we would have had no work to do. Then what would he would now do would be to fight to ensure that nothing was taken away from what he created. But that's not how he created our world. He deliberately did not finish everything in one day. Okay? And even after the sixth day when he rested, it was the foundational work that he completed. So excellence means we're not running ourselves down for not finishing everything that we have to do within 1 week or one day, or that we've not broken through, or that our lives are not perfect yet after 2 years. That's not what excellence is about, or that we criticize ourselves so much and criticize other people so much. That's not what excellence is about. We have standards, okay? When we fall below those standards, we don't play the ostrich and pretend that nothing is wrong. We respond quite all right. However, we give time for the fulfillment of our aspirations and our dreams. Hebrews chapter 6 and verse 12 says that we should not be sluggish, but we should be imitators of those who through faith and patience inherit the promises. We should not be sluggish. So excellence won't happen on its own. We have to make it happen. But it says through faith, we should imitate those who through faith and patience inherit the promise. So there are two sides to the coin there. There is faith, and the other side is patience. Faith gives us the capacity to capture the future. It shows us future reality. In fact, makes future reality real to us and personal to us. It's real. It's as real as dawn for us. And that energizes or motivates us to act. However, the other side of it is patience, which is the capacity to endure or to persevere or to hold on, staying power until the vision is fulfilled. Habakkuk chapter 2, the first 3 verses, I will stand on my watch, set myself on the rampart, see what the Lord will say to me and what I will answer when I am corrected. Verse 2 said, and the Lord answered me and said, write the vision, make it plain on tables that he may run that reads it. Verse 3. Hear what God says in verse 3. For the vision is for an appointed time. Wow. The vision is yet for an appointed time. What does the next line say? And at the end, it shall... That's not good news. End. Ah! I thought you should speak any moment from now. You know, now that since God has said it. You know, we've done so well in teaching on faith, but I don't think we've done as well in teaching on patience. And there are two sides of a coin. Those who through faith and patience. For example, from Hebrews 11 and verse 1, we taught, and now faith is, we stopped there. Now faith is. Faith is now. Which is true. The moment God says it, it is created. As far as God is concerned, it's not something that's going to happen in the future. It has happened now. It is created. It's in existence. However, it is in existence in the invisible world. Now, faith is. Then, manifestation will be. That, the other one, we've not emphasized. You know, Mark 11, 24 says, whatever things you desire, when you pray, believe that you receive them. So at the point at which you pray to the point where God speaks to you. Believe that you receive them. He says, and you shall have them. Those are two levels. The first one is spiritual. The second one is manifestation. So he says, and at the end, it shall speak. Though it tarries, wait for it. Do what? Wait for it. For it shall surely come. It shall not tarry. Well, that's a contradiction. You said, though it tarries, wait for it. They say, for it shall surely come, it shall not tarry. Then why do I need to wait? You see, those are two different levels. The first one is natural, the other one is supernatural. Though it tarries, that's in the natural. In perception, as a human being, it is tarrying. God told you he's going to do something, you brought out your clock, you are using your clock to time God. God doesn't walk by your clock, he walks by seasons. His own seasons. Okay, so he says, by your clock, it is tarrying, but by God's seasons, it did not tarry. Hallelujah. Because of impatience, we force things to happen before it's their time. If you pluck your fruit before it is ripe, you will eat sour grape. It will be sour. If you force things to happen before God's due season, there is no amount of heat that can make a block of ice to melt instantly. God didn't design for our world to work like that, sir. It takes time. Excellence takes time. The fulfillment of your vision will take time. The important thing is you must start with a vision of excellence. You've got to see quality with the eye of your spirit, with your imagination. You've got to see the best that God has provided for you. But don't put yourself under undue pressure expecting everything to happen instantly. I know there's instant milk. Instant this, instant that. But the fulfillment of your destiny, take that out of the instant list. It doesn't work like that. A very kind and compassionate man saw a butterfly trying to break out of its cocoon. Young butterfly, just about to, you know, come out for the first time from its cocoon. It's been changing from caterpillar to butterfly. And it was struggling. The thing was, you know, struggling. And this man, very compassionate man. He had pity on that butterfly. It was struggling too hard. So he took a razor blade, you know, and helped to cut the cocoon so that the butterfly could fly. Unfortunately, the butterfly never flew because the struggling was part of the process for evolution and growth. In helping it, he frustrated its destiny, and it ended up handicapped. Listen, I know human nature does not like pain. We don't like suffering. But I realize this is a major reason why many of us, especially in our own climes here, are under pressure to break through. We're under pressure because of our societal values, and more importantly, because of suffering. Poverty is not good, sir. You remember the wonderful woman of God who sang in a Yoruba song that poverty is not stew, so that God should not allow him to experience poverty. Poverty is not stew. So with the intense pressure, it takes so much to meet basic needs. With the intense pressure, we want to make things happen, especially in the area of finances. But I realize the challenge then is many of us take shortcuts. And, you know, sometimes we don't realize that God can see us and he understands what we're going through, but he has purposes to work out through what we're going through. See, to achieve excellence, you need character and competence. Either of them takes time to cultivate. It takes time to build character, sir. Deuteronomy chapter 8, you read the first three verses. Moses told Israel, the Lord your God allowed you to go through this terrible wilderness these 40 years. He allowed you to hunger and allowed you to thirst. He said, so that he might prove you or test you to know what was in your heart. That's the first thing. God wants to clean or purify your motives. You experience poverty, you want financial breakthrough, you want a lot of money. Why do you want the money? Unfortunately, if it is for survival, you are living below your potential. God wants to help you to adjust that before you move on to higher levels. So he says he wants to test you to know what was in your heart, whether you would obey his commandments or not, and that he might make you know that man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceeds from the mouth of the Lord. Will you value revelation over material acquisition? Big issue. The first test that Satan ran on Jesus was on that. And then he says, so that he may make you know that man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceeds from the mouth of God. So God knows what you are going through. Sometimes people want to help you. God stops them. Because their help will be using razor blade to cut your cocoon. You will be handicapped. And God knows. There are lots of people around who have been handicapped spiritually. They can't gather enough strength themselves in their relationship with God. Many have been handicapped mentally, many psychologically, many emotionally. Why? Because they found shortcuts while God was trying to develop their spiritual muscles and trying to enlarge their heart and give them capacity. Some found the shortcuts for themselves. One of the strategies, some of us are very smart, too smart for God. You can never be cornered. You will always find a way. And for some, that way includes begging. Begging. When we can't trust God enough, we can't hold on anymore, we don't mind losing our honor and losing our shame just to go beg from someone we shouldn't be begging from in the first place. But the psalmist said, once I was young, now I am old. I have never seen the righteous forsaken nor his seed begging for bread. And all of that God knows, but it's part of the process. Character is not built in one day. January 1997, you know, I prayed. It was just 1 year, 3 months after this church started. I felt like things were not happening fast enough. So I prayed, Lord, give me a national breakthrough this year, national explosion. When he responded, he said, leave me alone. I said, He said, go and face your job. Let me do my own. I said, which one is my own? He said, it won't take me time to put power on you and you'll be raising the dead. 5 minutes. He said, how long did it take on the day of Pentecost? How long did it take at the River Jordan when I put the power on Christ? 5 minutes, I put the power on you, you'll be raising the dead. He said, by the time you raise 3 people from the dead, you just need to put that on a poster, circulate it around the city, you will jam the stadium. He said, yeah, that's true. He said, good. We describe those activities as products of the gifts of the Spirit. He said, but there's another dimension of the work of the Holy Spirit in your life. It is not gifts of the Spirit. It's described as the fruit of the Spirit. He said, and because it is fruit, I can't give you. You have to grow it. He said, I'm talking about your character. He said, your character is the foundation I look at before I put the weight of success on you. He said, if I put more on you than your character can carry, you will crash. And I love you too much to allow you to crash. Face your business. I understood what he was talking about. End of discussion. Hallelujah. You know, we've been through it. We understand how it feels. Okay? Some 40 years ago or so, I wanted to buy a pair of shoes. I had worn the same pair of shoes. That was in the early years again of our church. I had worn the same pair of shoes. I was now embarrassed by the shoes. I said to buy a new pair of shoes. Pastor Nike came along with me. We went down to Ikeja Market. And went through a shop there. You know, I like fine things. I've always liked fine things. Some people ask us, is it that they don't like excellence? We like excellence. It's just that it is still a vision. See, we went there. I looked through all those shoes. Not that like I really liked them, but, well, the best one there was 4,000 naira. We bargained for it. And then I told Pastor Nick, I said, these are not my ideal kind of shoes. I said, let's go somewhere else. So we left there and went to Sophisticat. That's right. So we looked through. The first pair of shoes that I saw, I said, that's it. That's what I'm talking about. When we checked the price, 23,000 naira. My salary at that time must have been like maybe 6,000 or 8,000. So I thought, No, not this one. Okay. Moved on to other ones to check them. All the pairs of shoes in that shop that day were 23,000 naira each. I told Pastor Nick, I said, let's go back to Ikeja. Hallelujah. But that was then. This is now. If you hold on, things can change with time. You have a vision of excellence, but you can wait. Listen. Somebody defined patience this way, and I'll never forget it. It's like for you to sit down on a chair, for you to have the chair removed from under you, and for you to maintain the same position. You know, many people think that patience is a passive thing, that it means for you to do nothing. Just wait. God will do it. It doesn't mean so. For you to keep your gaze, stay steady, maintain your steps, keep moving. In the face of adversity, when things seem not to be working, that's what patience is about. It takes exertion for you to be able to maintain a position like that for a long time. We call it staying power. And it's part of the fruit of the Spirit. We need patience. It's both faith and patience. Our young generation in this country is too much in a hurry. But it's not only the younger generation now. There are lots of people in the older generation who are bad examples, who can't wait to build wealth legitimately over time. And young people too now realize there's no point waiting, because it looks like the most prosperous people around are some of those who make it quick, fast. Let me say this to you. Don't allow anybody to put you under pressure. Just because you left school together 1 year ago or 2 years ago, the guy now comes in the BMW 5 Series Coupe. And they say, Kai, wow, man, don't let them kill you. You may not be able to buy it today, you will buy it tomorrow. Hallelujah. Achieve excellence on a small scale and God will increase you. Don't sacrifice quality for quantity. Achieve excellence first on a small scale and God will increase you. Don't sacrifice quality for quantity. We live in an environment where we like to impress people. So we like to build big things or buy big things at the expense of quality. Big manism, one of the plagues of our society. The average Nigerian would rather buy a used big car than a brand new small one. You know, we're designed for big things in this country. Our dresses are big. You know, if we are not big, at least the clothes will make us to feel big. There's nothing wrong with the dress. Just wear the appropriate one to the appropriate occasion. Okay? If we're going to work, dress for work. If we're going to a party, dress for a party. But it's the mindset that is the issue. So we'd rather build a big house with the finishing, poor quality. The water closet, the taps, the tires, the whatever. And then at the end of the day, we live there. It should be inspiring. Okay? And sometimes many of the rooms are not even functional. What's the point? Why not buy a car in which you need to change any major part for 5 straight years? That's cheaper maintenance cost, isn't it, than to buy a big one, and after 2 years you have to change some of the parts, and they are expensive. In fact, after some time, you don't know who is riding who between the car and the driver. I would rather that we build a road, world class, that will last for 25 years. We may be able to afford only 100 kilometers this year. But if we have a 30-year plan, eventually we'll cover practically all the country. Then instead of, you know, doing a 100-kilometer road, we do roads like 2,000 to 3,000 kilometers, surface as many of them as possible, just resurface them, and then just one rainy season washes everything away, and we have to start all over again. You understand what I'm talking about? Start with good quality on a small scale and then increase it. The recommendation is this: you must develop the habit of saving. Develop the habit of saving because it gives you the capacity to upgrade. Proverbs 21:20, there is much treasure and oil in the dwelling of the wise. The foolish man spends everything. Develop the discipline of not spending all the money that comes in, whether you're a businessman or you're an employee. Save money because it gives you capacity to upgrade. And I'm telling you, once you upgrade your services, upgrade your products, the money that is coming in is upgraded. We read a book in our pastorate. We shared a book many years ago titled The Five-Star Church. I had never heard that before. Five-star church, I heard about five-star hotels. But the person was saying, look, once an hotel says we are five-star, your expectation increases for the quality of the service. Am I right? He said, and then when people come to church, no expectation at all. Everything crashes because it is church. But the fact that it is church is the reason why it should be five-star. It should be the best. But listen to me. You may invest a lot to make it five-star, but when you sell your bottle of soft drinks, you don't sell it at 50 naira. You sell it at 500. And people pay. People who respect themselves and who can afford it, they pay. Because it is five-star. They know it's not only the bottle and the drink they are paying for. It's the quality of the service. The people who smile at you because they are well paid. There are other places they will venge their anger on you because their salary for the last 2 or 3 months have not been paid. Okay? Start with what you have where you are. Spend your thought money before you spend your cash. Spend thought money. If you don't understand what I'm talking about, buy our series on real money from the tape stand. Real money is not the paper. It's thought. It's ideas. When you have the thought money, you will have the paper money. Okay? And that's what excellence has for, because in this country, many people run away from the challenge of excellence because they say, I don't have the money. It's ideas first. As a manager, I discovered in this country that once something goes wrong, people suggest to you, oh, sir, the solution is to buy this. We need to buy this. We need to buy that. And I found out in buying this and buying this and buying that, that didn't permanently solve most of the problems. However fantastic the equipment you buy may be, it will never function beyond the capacity of the person operating it. So you better upgrade the thinking of the person operating it first before you upgrade the equipment, because you could get a lot out of the equipment if the person operating it is thinking right. So I say spend thought money. It's ideas first. Use a lot of ideas every day. Add ideas. Use ideas to improve what you are doing. Always think of how to improve things. Finally, in the journey of excellence, there is no finish line. Excellence is not a day's job, it's a daily job. In the journey of excellence, there is no finish line. In Hebrews chapter 11, I read verses 39 and 40. Powerful chapter on faith lists people who did awesome things through the power of faith. And then the summary. And all these, having obtained a good testimony through faith, did not receive the promise, God having provided something better for us, that they should not be made perfect apart from us. Listen, if your vision is from God, you will not be able to realize all of it in your lifetime. Because it must be bigger than you. Abraham's vision, he could not fulfill. It spanned some 500 years, in fact, thousands of years. Jesus' vision was more than he could fulfill in his own lifetime. David wanted to build a house for God. God said, hold it, you can't do everything. Leave that one for Solomon, your son. Amen. So let's see far enough to live for our children. But at least let's make up our minds. We will not leave this country the way we met it. We will not leave our families the way we met them. We won't leave our organizations the way we met them. Are we agreed on that? The curse of backwardness is destroyed from this nation. And it is destroyed from your own life. In the mighty name of Jesus Christ, I release grace and anointing on your life for continuous improvement. As you walk out of here today, the power of God rests on you. Every step that you take will be a step for progress. In the mighty name of Jesus. There is something around here that sees someone rise up and pulls the person down. I declare today, your destiny will not respond to gravity anymore. As you take steps forward, you will never come backwards. In the mighty name of Jesus Christ, receive grace for new ideas, capacity to think better, to think higher. Every day will be for improvement in your life. In the mighty name of Jesus Christ, the power of the curse is destroyed. You have the power of blessing. Whatever you lay your hands upon to do will prosper. In the mighty name of Jesus Christ, I activate the covenant of Abraham on your behalf. Whoever blesses you is blessed. Anyone who curses you, who hurts you, who seeks to hinder or limit you, I declare they are cursed in the name of Jesus. The power of God will take them out on your behalf. In the mighty name of Jesus Christ, enjoy favor, access to resources like no generation ever enjoyed. In the name of Jesus Christ, I pray for the person in this service who would say, Pastor Sam, before God, to be honest, I want God to help me. My destiny is designed for excellence, but Satan wants to keep me in mediocrity. I don't want to die a failure. I want God to help me. Can I pray for you very quickly? Just put your hand on your heart where you are. Pastor Sam, pray with me. I'm a sinner. My lifestyle is not right with God. I'm a sinner. God sent his son Jesus to die for us on the cross. Sin is man's greatest problem. When we ask God to forgive us, he does. That's where the change begins from. You don't need to pay for your sins. Jesus did 2,000 years ago. Pastor Sam, pray for me that God should forgive my sins. Can you please put your hand on your heart? All of us were born sinners, but someday you hear the truth like this, you make up your mind. Somebody says, I've been a Christian, really. I've been born again, but I have backslidden into sin. If Jesus Christ comes now, I'm not absolutely certain I will make heaven. I want to rededicate my life to Jesus. Can you also put your hand on your heart, please? Short prayer, but your life will never remain the same. God bless you for your honesty. God bless you. If your hand is on your heart for this prayer, can you please stand by your chair where you are? We'll be done in 1 minute. Can you please stand? We'll be done in 1 minute. God bless you. Can you please stand? Your decision is what determines your destiny. Your decision, not your condition. Your decision. In life, everybody makes choices. But those choices will turn around to make you. Not making a choice is also a choice. Not making a choice to receive forgiveness from God is a choice to reject his forgiveness. Can you stand if you know you should be a part of this prayer? If you are standing, can you please say this prayer after me? Dear God, I believe that Jesus paid for my sins, and I ask you to forgive me and to accept me as your child. Thank you for hearing my prayer. In Jesus' name, let me pray for you. Father, let the power of the Holy Spirit rest on everyone who is standing today. And we thank you, Lord, for the miracle of change in their lives. In Jesus' name, amen.